Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Last week in our biblical emphases, we focused on original sin, if you were here, if you remember, and we considered how doomed our race is because of original sin. The scriptures are very clear that there is no one who is righteous before God, because all have sinned. Whether those sins are the actual sins that we commit with our hands, that we commit with our mouths as we speak evil, or whether they're the sins of the heart, where there isn't true fear of God, true love for God, true trust in God. All of those things are sins and they condemn. And there's no way out of it because original sin is something we're born with, so that we start out corrupted and that corruption is incurable. So if you get that, if you get original sin and just how destructive it is, then the next biblical emphasis shouldn't be that hard to grasp. That the only way for those who are doomed, for those who are born sinful, to be justified before God, to be accepted in His sight, is by faith alone in Christ Jesus. Let's go back and consider again. Let's remember the definition of the word to justify, or the noun justification. At least as the Bible uses the terms, because we may use them differently in our day-to-day speech. But if we search the Scriptures to see how the Holy Spirit defines the term, we find that it's a forensic term or a courtroom term. It's the ruling of the judge who declares the defendant to be innocent of all charges and therefore free to go, free to live. In spiritual terms, it's God's act as the divine judge of declaring a person to be just, righteous, acceptable in His sight, a son of His kingdom. According to the Scriptures, there are only two ways to be justified. There's the law way, and there's the gospel way. Not unlike in a human courtroom, in a way, there are two ways to be justified by the judge. Either be innocent, that should hopefully lead to your being declared innocent, or if you're guilty, be declared innocent even though you're not innocent. Now that doesn't work well. That's not justice in a human courtroom, not usually, but God's justice is a little different. So let's talk about the law way of being justified. The law way is very simple and at the same time impossible. The one who does these things shall live by them, says the law. In other words, you're the defendant, and you are innocent. You haven't sinned. You haven't ever committed a crime against God's laws in thought, word, or deed. If you keep all of God's laws, both outwardly and inwardly, with the hands and with the heart, with the perfect love for God and perfect love toward your neighbor that the law requires, then you will live. You will be justified in God's courtroom. He will see your innocence and have no choice but to declare you innocent and righteous. But if you slip up even once, you will die. You will be condemned, because there is no forgiveness under the law, and no weighing of good versus bad in a person's life. If a person is judged by the law, then he has to be sinless in order to be justified. Justification by works, justification by the law, only works for sinless people. But again, as we saw last week, we all start out life already sinful and unclean, and the law offers no forgiveness. There is no justification available for sinners under the law. For sinful people, only the gospel will do. Of course, that's exactly what the Apostle Paul was saying in Galatians chapter 2, our first lesson tonight. Even he and the Apostle Peter, who had started to fall back into the law way of justification by insisting that a person be circumcised if he's to be acceptable before God. That's part of the law way of being justified. Well, even Peter and Paul, as Jews, who had a good record of moral outward behavior compared to the Gentiles, who never even had the Ten Commandments, Peter and Paul and the other believing Jews had become convinced that their works, for as good as they appeared compared to the Gentiles, still weren't good enough to save them. That their works didn't provide even the slightest reason for God to accept them or to justify them. Instead, they had come to know Jesus Christ as the Lord, true God and true man, who offered himself up for their sins, who did the obedience of the law in their place, and who offered them justification in a completely different way than the law did. Not by obeying the law well enough, but by faith in him who was crucified for us, who loved us and gave himself for us. The justification of the gospel is the free forgiveness of sins for the sake of Christ alone, which is applied to sinners through faith alone. As Paul wrote, a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. He clearly sets those two methods of being justified at odds with each other so that they don't overlap, they don't work together, either by works or not by works, but by faith. So faith can't be considered a work, a meritorious work, a work that earns some of God's acceptance, that earns God's favor for us, because that puts faith back in the category of works, and that's the law, and that doesn't work for sinners. This is one of the greatest problems with generally Baptist theology, what we sometimes call decision theology, which is what the now departed Billy Graham unfortunately included in most of his sermons, and especially promoted in his magazine entitled Decision. First, it ignores original sin, which we considered last week, because it gives sinful man a power that the Scriptures take away from him. Not much power, but power nonetheless to be able to decide for himself whether to invite Jesus into his heart or not. It makes man ultimately responsible for his own conversion. It places the emphasis on man's decision, like the children's song, "I have decided to follow Jesus." It turns faith into that one work that man has to do. Jesus did the suffering, the dying, the really big stuff. You have to do the deciding, the believing. But that's not how the Scriptures present faith and believing. Instead, the Holy Spirit, through the promise of the gospel that God will be merciful to you in Christ, calls out to sinners, not make your decision now, it's all up to you now. That's not how the Scriptures talk. But repent and believe the gospel, look to Christ and be saved. It's that promise of the gospel, the very power of God, that moves sinners to look to Him who was lifted up on the cross, to look to Him for the forgiveness of sins, for life, for salvation, even as the snake-bitten Israelites looked up at the serpent on the pole at Moses' word. And they were healed of their snake bites and their venom. Faith isn't a work that earns anything from God. Instead, faith lays hold of Christ. Faith is, we say, the means by which God credits us with Christ's work and with Christ's suffering and death for sins, so that the divine judge can look at the defendants who were guilty, but now whose guilt has been transferred to another, and who have now received from that other innocent one credit for his innocence. This is why it doesn't work in a human courtroom, because we can't swap punishments with people, and we can't swap good deeds with people in a human court. But this, in God's court, does work, because He makes it work. He says it works. The defendant, who is guilty on his own, is covered by Christ when that defendant believes in Christ, flees to Him for refuge in faith. And so the judge pronounces sentence: righteous, innocent, forgiven, free to go, free to live in His kingdom forever. Not as enemies, not as people whom He tolerates there, but as very sons and children of God. This is the faith by which we are justified. Not just a knowledge of who Jesus is, or a belief that God exists, or even that God is one, but trusting and relying on Jesus as the one for whose sake alone God accepts us, according to His promise. But justification by faith alone doesn't mean, and has never meant, that love and good works are irrelevant, that love and good works are unnecessary. Far from it. It doesn't mean go ahead and sin because you're justified by faith alone. Works of love, works in obedience to God's commandments, are certainly necessary. We don't discount them from the Christian life. We discount them from the matter of how we are justified before God, from the earning of God's grace. We discount them as the reason for which God justifies or accepts anyone. In fact, it's only because of justification by faith alone that anyone can even begin that new obedience, as we call it, of starting to truly fear this God who loved us and gave His Son for us, of starting to truly trust in this God, of starting to care selflessly about our neighbors because we've been born again, of starting to take God's commandments seriously as something that we want to obey because we've received forgiveness from our Father for the sake of Jesus. This is justification by faith alone, the heart of the gospel, the teaching on which the church stands or falls, as has been said many times in Lutheran circles. The simple teaching, really, of John 3:16, which you heard this evening. It's constantly being attacked by the devil with false teachings, both big and small. Whether it's the Roman church, including works of love in its definition of faith, so that they can say we're justified by faith alone, meaning faith plus the works that flow from it, including all that in the reason why God justifies us. That's the Roman way. Or whether it's the Baptist turning faith into a decision and a work of man, or the Lutheran synods creating a third way to be justified, neither by doing the works of the law nor by faith in Christ, but somehow objectively. So give thanks for the simple teaching of John 3:16. Take comfort in it and guard it. Guard it with your life. Guard it throughout your whole life. And never let anyone move you even an inch from the simple but profound truth that you, a poor sinner, have been declared righteous and made acceptable to God through faith alone in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.